being a shy kid and then growing up to have a career where you sit in front of a camera and speak to hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe millions. Yeah, it's a pretty scary and daunting place to be. But I'm so happy I did it because it's changed me entirely. Hi, my name is Joey Kidney, and I'm a shy kid, and I always have been. People think that just because there's a camera, there's a mic, there's a lot of people watching a video, that the shyness immediately goes away. No, I'm shy to the core, and I always will be shy. And growing up, I always thought it was such a negative thing that I would be nervous to do things, that I wouldn't feel comfortable talking to certain people. But I'm at the age of 28 now, and I've realized it's almost like a superpower, that I absolutely love it, that I'm okay with being me, that I'm okay with being shy. It just means I'm selective in who I trust and who I feel comfortable in. And to not feel comfortable with everyone, I like to think that's okay. Now, I was always jealous of the one kid in high school that would walk around and they had so much confidence, not because of like how they looked, but because of just everything that they were. They were confident in being them. And it wasn't always the smart kid, the most attractive kid, the best at sports kid. It was always the kid that was just happy to be him, them, her, him, whatever, whoever it was. And usually, what's funny is that they weren't the smartest kid. They were never the smartest kid. They had golden retriever energy, which I get now is people diss it online, but that seemed to be the happiest kid growing up. And I was envious of that. So folks, welcome to another episode of the Happy Times Podcast. My name is Joey Kidney, and I'm trying something new where I film a bunch of clips. So if you want to see me talk, you can go over to my Instagram or my TikTok, and I'll have some clips of each episode there. And if you support that, then that'd be amazing. More people can listen to this podcast, and then maybe we can do a full video series. But I'm trying something new, and I hope you enjoy it. But this podcast is going to be about shyness and overcoming being shy. And I know there's a lot of people out there right now who maybe think that shyness is related to anxiety. And granted, it could be. I'm not a therapist. I'm not licensed. I'm not here to tell you what it is and what it isn't. I'm just here to share my experience. And I also have some tips. I'm not going to leave you hanging, even though this podcast is unscripted. I did make a list of 5 things that helped me overcome or outgrow being shy. And I want to share those with you, and I want to explain each one. And they're going to be weird. They're going to be different, but I feel like shy kids are always weird and different no matter what. I'm here. You're here. I'm shy. Yet I'm talking to you. If that doesn't say much, then I don't know what does. So I want to start it off right away with number one. This is the number one thing that I did to change my life in coping with being shy. It's the most different approach that I feel like you're ever going to hear. Yet I feel like it was very different and almost frowned upon when I was younger versus right now. So if you're a kid listening to this right now, this first tip isn't going to be something that you can't do, and it's not going to sound too outlandish. But if you're listening to this and you are my age of 28 and you're thinking, okay, when I was 16, that would have been weird. I would have got bullied. I got bullied. Trust me. The number one thing that I did was I filmed myself talking and I uploaded it to YouTube. And at first, no one saw it. Not a single person saw it. Then 100 people saw it. Then 1,000 people saw it. And now millions of people see my videos every single day. But what that did was it gave me the confidence in myself, in how I speak, in how I communicate, in how I feel. And there's something so comforting for me to speak in front of a camera. Like, it's almost easier for me to talk to a camera than it is to talk to someone, because trust me, I'm going to therapy for this, but I think it's because I don't have to have a response. Something about it, it makes it feel like I'm talking to nobody, and then it's just out of my body, and I feel better because there's a weight lifted. But then it's not to no one at the end of it all. Like, it can still impact people, it can still help people, and those people that watch it could still help me. And so it's like almost talking to a friend, but they can't reply for 24 hours. There's something about it that removes the judgment. As a shy kid, I feel like my number one fear was being embarrassed. And even though posting videos online at 16, I was embarrassed because I got bullied. But what it told me was that I do have a voice and that people are listening. Otherwise, they wouldn't be bullying. Even if it was cringy. And I'm sure if I was to look back now, oh my God, I couldn't watch a video back. But that's okay. What it did is it just helped me practice talking. I was able to actually converse, even if it was with nobody. And I'd be able to kind of get critiqued in a sense by receiving comments. And I'd look back on those and I'd be able to reassess, you know, how I was thinking. And it felt like a conversation, but one that I wasn't scared to have. And that was the number one thing. And so I realized, yeah, when I was 16, that was very untraditional. However, now everyone and their mother is making a TikTok nowadays. And so if you're really shy, I really recommend it. And you don't have to be doing like crazy things. You don't have to be doing a Jake Paul. You don't have to be, I don't know, doing crazy pranks or I don't know. You don't have to be giving advice. You could literally just be talking. You could be cooking. You could be talking. There's one account that my girlfriend watches. I forget her last name, but her first name is Tess Madeline, I believe. And she makes these like 5 to 7 minute videos sometimes of her just cooking and chatting with the camera. And something about it makes it feel like you're on FaceTime. And I'm sure for her, it's an outlet. I'm not saying she's shy, but I think that would be a really great format for anyone that's shy to just do something and talk about it. I think it's therapeutic in a sense. But now going on to number two. Number two is, I don't want you to think that I did this to get a date or I'm not doing this for the wrong reasons. I feel almost embarrassed to say it, but the thing that really helped me is going out and practicing talking to people. And, you know, when I was 18, 20 years old, I was living on my own. And where would you go to practice talking to people? In my head, I was like, all right, who kind of like has to talk to me? Which is such a bad thing to say. Like, oh my God, I hope people aren't thinking like I'm talking about like paid phone sex workers. Not that sense. Oh my gosh. You probably weren't thinking that and now you are. I'm sorry. What I meant was I would go to a local coffee shop and I would talk to a barista. And it wouldn't be much. At first, it was a conversation like everyone has. It was the conversation of, hey, how are you? Good, you? What can I get you? And that's the extent of it. But doing that small little portion helped me get to the next. Because I was always a kid that when my mom was like, hey, I need you to go to do this, or I need you to call this person, I would be like, can you do it? Or I would immediately lie and say like, oh yeah, I called them. I got an answering machine. I didn't call. I didn't even pick up the phone. I didn't even try. Immediately as she asked me to do some, immediately as she asked me to call somebody, I immediately said no. Like in my head, I was like, I'm absolutely not doing this. And that's all right. I'm sorry to my mom, but she definitely knew. She definitely knew I was lying like immediately out of the gate. But doing the barista thing, going to talk to baristas it's always helped me. And I kind of graduated from the good you conversation and I went to something that is super easy. And I simply just like ask them what they would order. What's your favorite drink? Because, okay, how do you make a conversation with somebody that you don't know? You ask about the environment that you're in, right? I'm walking into a coffee shop. What am I going to get to order? I don't know. What would you get to order? That's a great question. It's a great question that it makes people not uncomfortable. It's not like, hey, oh my God, you look so good today. Like, where'd you get that shirt? As a man walking into a coffee shop, talking to a barista, unless it's another guy, I think it can come all off as a little weird. So the way I graduated from the how are you is I would ask them what they would order. And I would try that day. And I would actually follow through and try it. I wouldn't stick to my normal, because the other portion of overcoming shyness is getting out of your comfort zone in all aspects. It can be in aspects of environment. It could be in the aspect of asking questions and conversations. That's absolutely normal. And so if you're worried about what to ask someone when you're shy, the number one thing that you can do is ask them questions, because it takes the focus and the pressure off of you and puts it on the conversation. It's not about you. It's now about them. And listening is one of the best things, one of the best skills that you can have as a person that is being shy. Because when the conversation gets uncomfortable, you can mention something that they previously have mentioned, which makes the conversation familiar, which makes everyone more comfortable. It's a simple, simple thing, but listening is a hard task. But that's the one thing that in a conversation has always helped me. And so talking to my local barista, I'm sorry to all the ones that I did talk to. If I ever came off as like weird, I was really just practicing being me in public. And that was always really tough for me. This Happy Times episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. I have a question for you. What are your self-care must-haves that you cannot miss? That if you miss them, it just throws off the entire day. I'll tell you mine. I call it HENS. Yeah, like a chicken hens. So that stands for hydration, exercise, nutrition, and sleep, which I know sounds lame, but those are the things that if I miss out on one, the following lacks. If I don't get my hydration, then I'm not going to be able to exercise as hard. And if I don't exercise as hard, then I'm not going to be able to eat properly for my nutrition. And if I don't have good nutrition, then I have trouble sleeping. So to keep my head level and to stay on track with all of this, because there's life that gets in the way sometimes. So I have incorporated therapy into my routine. Speaking with a BetterHelp therapist allows me to get these emotions and these things and these issues off my mind. And it benefits me more because it gets them out of the way rather than them creating barriers. So if you find something is getting in your way of your self-care must-haves, then maybe therapy with BetterHelp should be something that you consider. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do to start is to fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/happytimes today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/happytimes. And now, back to the episode. And maybe it was because like the judgment of other people. Maybe it was because like I was scared I was going to feel embarrassed or not have the right words. But when I took that pressure off myself of always having the right things to say, it was a lot easier. And to be honest with you, now people think I'm really weird because I take time to say things. When people talk to me and they ask me something, they're like, how do you feel about this? I actually take a moment to think about what I'm going to say instead of thinking about what I'm going to say while they're talking. Therefore, I'm not listening to them. It's a small skill, but like I said, it's a hard one. And going on to number three, how do you even get to talk to these people, say you don't want to go talk to a barista, one of the better things that you could do is do an activity while talking and doing it with people that have similar interests to you. So one of the things that I did when I was 19, 20, is I joined a run club. I loved running. I was running alone no matter what. And joining this club, I ran with people and I was able to talk with people. And it doesn't matter if you know how to run or if you don't know how to run. All you have to do is be able to run and keep a conversation with somebody that's running the same pace as you. And if you don't know what to talk about, all you got to ask is about the situation that you're in, just like the barista. And you say, what are you training for? Are you training for something? Are you training for a race? Oh, I hate running in the heat. Just talk about running. And that's what I did. And I made some great friends. It was amazing. Runners are very competitive and a little bit weird. So I haven't ran with a run group in a little while, but I do miss it. I do miss like just having that community around me. That's something that made me very comfortable and something that I definitely miss. And I've noticed that I've missed it because as I've been renovating my home and just trying to save money and I moved a little bit further, not that run clubs cost money, but you'll usually go to like a cafe or it ends at like a brewery or something like that. So you end up spending money. But I noticed that being alone, I've become more introverted, less confident in myself. But having that weekly community meetup, essentially, I became more confident in myself because I was getting practice, talking and running. And now going on to number four. When you feel uncomfortable in a conversation, like embarrassment is coming on you and you need to run away. You're so scared. And then you just shut down. Your face gets red. Your palms get sweaty. You're just overheating. The number one thing I recommend that has always worked for me was to change my environment. Changing where you are. If you're at a party and somebody starts asking you about your personal life and you don't feel comfortable answering it, or they're mentioning something super specific that maybe you remember that you were embarrassed about, take the conversation outside. It's amazing. Move from room to room. If you're sitting down, stand up. Move. I really, really, really recommend it. It's helped me tremendously. And because it takes this, let's think about it like dogs. I'm not trying to compare you to a dog. I am. Dogs and humans are really, really, really similar in their behavior and everything like that. So when, say you have a dog and your friend has a dog, and or they just get a puppy, and you've had your dog for a year or 2 years, 3 years, whatever. They just get a puppy. And you're like, oh, let's have the dogs meet. A lot of people, which is how you create a reactive dog, is say, oh, just come over to my house. Bring your puppy. We'll have our dogs meet. It's probably the worst thing you can do. And why? Because you're bringing a stranger into someone's comfortable environment, a place where they feel safe. And now as soon as you walk in the doors with the puppy, you've immediately made that space hostile. It's now, whoa, I need to defend my territory. And it's the same with humans. It's the same with being at a house party and you've stayed in the one room the entire time. And then somebody that maybe a popular kid comes in, or somebody that you know is more outgoing or different than you comes in and tries to talk to you. You now feel like your safe space that you felt safe in, you felt secure in, is now broken. Moving to a different space will help that. And it's the same with dogs. So if the question is, where would you have two dogs meet? And the answer is one outside. But if you're like, oh, let's go to the park I always go to, that would be a wrong answer. The correct answer is to go to a neutral territory, one place that either dog has never been or maybe has been once or twice. But the whole point is that that area is neutral to both of them. And I think it's the same with humans. When we go to a neutral territory, we don't feel like we're defending. We don't feel like we're on offense. We feel neutral, that we're on the same playing field and we can have a conversation with someone else. I'm sorry to compare you to a dog, but it's really helpful. It's about friends. Because there's a lot of friends. I've had a lot of friends in my life that never understood why I was shy, never understood why I couldn't do certain things or go certain places. And I've selected a core group of friends now that really understand who I am, because I've explained it. I've entrusted them, and now we have a great friendship. And the one thing that I did all of the other things that I've done in my life, but the one thing that I did specifically with my friends is I started scheduling outdoor hangouts. This is super similar to like joining a run club. I am always more comfortable outdoors. And maybe it's because it's a neutral environment. Maybe it's because it's something where I feel safe. It definitely is. I feel safe outdoors. I feel like I can breathe. I'm not worried about sweating. I feel like I can not feel claustrophobic. I can change my environment multiple times while moving. And so with my friends now, I've always either done it outside, and then the second part of it is to do an activity. So maybe it's play golf. You ever wonder why all of your guy friends, or maybe your boyfriends, go and play golf so often with their other guy friends? It's not just because they like the sport. It's because they feel safe and they feel comfortable and they can open up, and it's not so confrontational. It's not going out for a coffee and sitting down across the table from one another, feeling like you're stuck, like you can't move. If anybody has ADHD or any aspect of that, they feel like they want to move, and movement and blood flow makes you feel human. Doing tasks makes you feel better. And to do it with your friends, people that you love, allows you to feel safer, to be more honest, to be more open. And so overcoming and outgrowing shyness and learning how to cope with it really is just learning how to cope with you and understanding how to make this world a safe environment for you, a better world for you, to be happier, to be loving, to love this life that you live. Because I can sit here and I can tell you how being shy is wrong, but it's not. You're not wrong for being shy. You're not any less of you just because you're not outgoing. You're exactly you. You just need to learn to accept that and how to use that in the world that we live in. Because I'm not here to lie to you and say that this world is easy. By no means is it. And I'm not saying it's easier for outgoing people. But as a shy person living in a chaotic world with a lot going on, a lot of people getting canceled, a lot of things going wrong, you do have a voice. You just need to learn how to use it. And for me, it's been these five things. And if there's a sixth one, I would say put yourself in an uncomfortable position. But I think that's so extra bonus points. Like for me, I used to go on tour a lot and do meet and greets. And that really helped. That came from filming myself online and making YouTube videos to then I was now meeting fans. And that sent me over the top. I was like, okay, I'm now very good with meeting people. That helped me immensely. Obviously, that's not a point that I would share as my top five, because that's not something that everyone can do. But for me, that really helped. So like my bonus point is I was then offered to do speaking gigs. That's tough. Speaking gigs in front of the largest group I spoke in front of was 26,000 people. That was terrifying. I blacked out. I'm not even joking. Like I don't remember it at all. I have a video and that's it. But what that did is that just gave me a freaking ego boost. That gave me just the adrenaline that I needed to be like, hey, Joey, you can actually do this. And so there's little spurts of being outgoing, that really helps. And I do the same. So what I did with that is, obviously I can't go on stage and speak to somebody or speak to 26,000 people all the time. So what I do now is I apply that to hanging out with friends or going to a party or going to an event or anything like that. What I do is when I walk in the door, I be loud. Not loud in the sense of like screaming, but loud in the sense as I say hi immediately. I hug or high five or shake somebody's hand, whatever, immediately. And I exude confidence when I walk in the door. And that sets me up for a night where, okay, now I've created this space to feel safe. And it's kind of my version. It's the same like dopamine hit or adrenaline hit that I get from when I go on stage. And that's all I have for you today. So if you're shy or if you're not shy or if you're looking back and on a time when you were shy, I hope this maybe helps you understand or helps you go through it. And hey, I'm still shy. And that's okay. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed it, I really, really hope that you can leave a 5-star review on Spotify. We're at 4,000. I would love to get to 5,000 reviews. That's crazy. That's a crazy number. And I really appreciate it. So thank you very much for listening. And I'll talk to you guys next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.